We're in week number four of a series entitled Foundations. How many of you know that foundations are important? If you don't know that foundations are important, you need to talk to a builder. If you've ever built a home, you know that it is very important the way you pour your footers and the way you get everything set for your home. If you buy a home, you have an inspector come in and they check what? Check out the house. But one of the most important things they check is the foundation. Because you could have the most immaculate house. It's beautiful. Great exterior, great interior. But if the foundation is a mess and cracking, it needs to either be repaired or the whole house is going to fall down. And so what we've been doing is over the course of the last 4 weeks is we've been looking at a message that Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 5. I spoke to someone a couple weeks ago, and they were telling me how much they've enjoyed the series. And I said, oh, we're just copying the message from somebody else. And they said, well, what do you mean you just copied it from somebody else? I said, Jesus preached this message a long, long time ago sitting on the side of a mountain. So this is what it is, the Sermon on the Mount. And so what we began with, Jesus began the whole sermon on the mount, sitting on the side of a mountain, speaking to his followers and the people who were following him around. And he began with what we call the Beatitudes. And basically what that was, it was explaining to people how they can be happy. He just wanted to tell you, happy are you, or blessed are you when this happens. And one thing that we learned that week that is a foundational point for this entire message series is that happiness is not an emotional response. Let's put up that first slide. Happiness is not a remote emotional response dependent on our circumstances. It's not. That's just the feeling. But what we learned that week is through the words of Jesus and through the Beatitudes that happiness is associated with the truth that God is at work in you, and that God is at work in me no matter what happens. On the good days, God's at work in me. On the bad days, God's at work in me. And even on the very, very bad days, God is doing something in me. And so because of that, I am blessed, or I should be happy because of the eternal work that God has done in us or doing in us. And last week, Pastor spoke and we learned what it meant to be salt, what it meant to be light, and how salt changes things and it preserves things, and how light changes things. Because darkness, the only thing darkness is the absence of light. If there's no light available, it's dark. People don't carry darkness. Darkness is just where there is no light. And so we learn the difference. And we learn that Jesus, that he was explaining and teaching the scriptures and the law of Moses to these followers in a way they had never heard before. Because they were under a religious, basically a dead religious, I don't want to say organization, but a dead religious just rule. Like you follow these rules or it was it for you. If you didn't do this day, you know it's over with. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to follow everything by the law. And not only do you need to obey the law, but you need to obey the other laws that the Pharisees made up, and the other laws that the leaders of that day just made up for you. And so here Jesus is speaking into this scene and speaking to these people in a fresh new way. And so after he begins to tell people that they're salt and they're light, then he moves on to say this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And before we read, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, Lord, we ask that you, the way that you want us to live, God, would be clearly laid out for us today. God, that we would hear your word. And Lord, that we would do everything that's in our power through a relationship with you to obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. So here's Jesus. He says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. And why does he say this? Because he's been saying some stuff that's totally different from what they have learned growing up. And he said, okay, now guys, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets or the word of God, the scriptures. but to what? To fulfill them. No one had been able to do that up to this time because everybody was lacking it. Everybody had failure in their life to where they didn't meet the certain standard. And so here was Jesus coming to say that here I am and I have fulfilled everything. So in doing so, he was saying, you know, these things that were spoken in the Old Testament, they're coming to pass through me. Verse 18 says, "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." So Jesus reiterates that again and he says, I just want you to know there's not one thing that's going to disappear from the law. Because the law is still the law. It's the law, it's God's law. And it's not going to disappear. We can act like it's gone, but it's not going to be gone. But Jesus said he's come to fulfill it, and it's not going to disappear. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, "Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So it's very simple. You practice and teach the commands of God, you're great in the kingdom of heaven. If you don't practice them and choose not to teach them, you're the least. And then verse 20 says this, "For I tell you that unless," and he keeps adding to this original statement, and he says this, "unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So just imagine yourself coming and following after a teacher, and this man is preaching the scripture, and then he tells you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the leaders in the church, the people who have taught you ever since you were little, then you're not even going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So a few verses before, he's telling people, if you don't teach my commands, you're just going to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But you're still going to be, from Jesus' words, it says you'll be part of it. But then he says, unless your righteousness supersedes the Pharisees, then you're not even going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So in essence, what Jesus was saying with this whole scripture is that everything he taught in his ministry, everything that came from him before this Sermon on the Mount and everything that came after until his death, burial, and resurrection, it was based upon the scriptures before, the Old Testament, the prophecies that foresaw Christ coming, and everything that he did lined up with them. And so Jesus is saying, don't assume for one minute that I came to destroy it, that I came to push it away, but I came to complete it. So in essence, what Jesus was saying is what the law could not do in and of itself, I can do. So let's read verse 19 again. It says, "Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great." And then he goes on to say again, "unless your righteousness." I just want y'all to get that today. "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will not enter God's kingdom." Jesus had no issue with keeping the commands. Why? Because he was God's son. Perfect, right? But guess what you and I have a problem with? Keeping God's commands. You know why we have a problem with keeping God's commands? How many perfect people do we have here this morning? Would you please stand? Perfect people, never done anything wrong, please stand. We want to clap our hands for you, right? There's nobody, right? Nobody. So Jesus is basically telling us that it's impossible for us to live by the law and to be righteous in our own ways. Because we see it clearly portrayed in the life of the Pharisees and in the leaders of the law. He knew that we would never be able in ourselves to reach perfection in this life. And so Jesus, his emphasis turned to something else than what the Pharisees' emphasis was. The Pharisees' emphasis was on our actions, what we do, what we look like, how we dress, the things we, you know, how we handle certain laws. But Jesus came and he turns the focus toward the heart. And the attitude of the heart specifically. Not on a self-righteous, and when I point to this side, I'm pointing to the Pharisees and the leaders of the law. I'm not pointing to Sam and Amanda or Faith, right? So the leaders, the Pharisees, they are self-righteous, and their outer display shows perfection. But it was something that was unattainable to everybody else. So, what is a Pharisee? And, you know, Confessions of a Pharisee is basically this. They were satisfied. I want you to get this because some of us may live that way at times. They were satisfied if they appeared on the outside to follow the law. They were satisfied because they looked the part. They dressed the right way. They wore the right little things on them. They looked holy, and people thought of them as holy. They were highly respected. And to them, that was the end game. There was not humility found inside of them. And so, Jesus, looking at this spectacle or this display of holiness and self-righteousness, said this. He said, "You are whitewashed tombs. You're full of dead men's bones. You're pretty on the outside. You may look nice, clean, but you're full of filth. You're full of death." And then again, he referred to them as someone who takes a cup and just cleans the outside. Now, if y'all grabbed a cup out of your cupboard this morning to make some coffee or to make some hot tea or whatever you drink in the morning, and you looked inside the cup and it was nasty inside, it was dirty, it's like somebody didn't clean it, they washed the outside, what would you think? Would that cup be clean or dirty? It's dirty. If you drank out of that cup, you need extra help, and we can help you after church. You know, you shouldn't do stuff like that. You should clean your dishes, right? And so in the same way, Jesus says, Pharisees, you're pretty on the outside. You may say the right things. You may look the right way, but you are dirty. What you do is not acceptable in the kingdom of heaven, so much that you will not enter it. And as followers of Jesus, we know that we cannot make it in ourselves. I want you to get this. We need to take this with us today. We cannot make this life. We cannot live this Christian life in ourselves, in a righteousness found in us, to the point to where we can enter heaven, because it's impossible. I tried it. I failed. It's not going to happen. Followers of Jesus realize that they are to depend on God to work His righteousness inside of us. In Corinthians, it says this, God made Him who had no sin, Jesus, the perfection. He made Him to be sin so that we may be what? Righteous. We're not righteous because we do all the things that people ask us to do. But we're righteous because of a relationship that we have with God through His Son, Jesus. And so then Jesus speaks straight to the Pharisees because He knows they're listening, right? How do you think they felt that day on the mountainside? Jesus basically told them they weren't going to heaven, right? They're not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. Here they are, the teachers of the law. That probably started the whole thing to kill Him, right? this guy's a nut. You know, we need to get him out of here. He's going to mess up my image. So then he speaks straight to them, and he says this in Matthew 5:21. It says, "You have heard it said to the people long ago," and he's speaking of the Old Testament and the commands that he's fulfilling, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." So Jesus says something that everybody agrees with, because that's the law. Jesus' death and burial doesn't make murder right, okay? I just want you to know that. So it's still bad to murder people, right? Killing someone that's innocent is wrong. And so Jesus says this to everyone. You've heard it said long, long ago that you should not murder. The next verse, in verse 22, he raises the bar a little bit again. He says, "But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to that same judgment." So once again, we see Jesus, it's changing from just outside motives to the heart. And he says, you think you're special because you hadn't killed anybody, but there you are full of anger. And because of that anger, you're subject to the same judgment as the person who killed someone. Jesus knew that anger was destructive to the heart. And if it is allowed to remain in the heart of a person, it's like poison. And then Jesus begins to list many different things before the people. And he knows, I think the main reason that he tells these things to people is that it doesn't only affect our relationship with one another, but these things in our heart affect our relationship with God. Jesus, time and time again after this statement, he said, "You've heard it said, but I say." And he said that about forgiveness, and he spoke about lust. He said that, you know, you think you're special because you haven't committed adultery, but I tell you this. If you look upon a person, you committed that in your heart. And then he speaks of honesty. He speaks of grace and humility. And he says, you've heard it said before, an eye for an eye, right? But I tell you to turn the other cheek. And Martin Luther King said this many years ago. He said, the old law about an eye for an eye leaves everybody what? Everybody blind. The old way, the old law, destroys everyone, because no one can live by it. No one can attain holiness through the law. So on down in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, it says this: "You've heard it that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now, this is totally opposed to what they believed. "That you may be children of your Father in heaven." He doesn't just say it's an option. The only way that we're children of our Father in heaven and show others that we're children of our Father in heaven is by loving those who don't like us. Loving those who hate us. That expresses the heart of the Father. And then he goes on to say, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. John 3:16 exudes this fact, and it reminds us that God's love is so great that it includes everyone. We're no better than other people just because of who we are and where we're born and what country we live in. The issue in that time was the Pharisees knew they were supposed to do this, but they worked around it. Jesus, speaking to them, said, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Basically, what he's saying is, do not even unbelievers, people who don't even believe in God, don't they love people who love them? And don't they greet people who are part of their group? Jesus was speaking straight to the Pharisees at this time. Why? Because the Pharisees held to the law, right? They did their best to show others that they held to the law. And in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it says this. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, I know that sounds an awful lot like a New Testament scripture, but this was a law. But the Pharisees worked their way around the law because they believed that they were instructed only to love people who agreed with them wholeheartedly and who gave them love. And then they gave the other people love. And they used that whole neighbor thing. And they said, you know, they're not our neighbor because we don't believe the same. They're not our neighbor because they don't love us. But as a follower of Jesus, we are commanded. And I know this isn't easy, but we're commanded as followers of Jesus to love everyone. You turn to your neighbor right now and say, we're supposed to love everyone. Now take a deep breath and turn back to that person and say, no matter what they've done or who they are, and we can even add, or what they said, because that bothers us. Because we carry that with us, right? I'm going to ask the band to come up at this time. Jesus said that if we do not love everyone, even our enemies, we're no different than people who are unbelievers. So what was Jesus doing during this whole talk? Jesus showed that the intent of the law was for people to love everyone. Not just the ones who love them. Because let's be honest, guys. We like loving the people who love us, don't we? How many of you like that? Raise your hand. If you're listening, you probably raised your hand, right? And how many of you like loving people who don't love you? I have a problem with it. I'm going to be honest. I'm a human. Some days I feel like I'm spiritual, and other days I feel like I'm very unspiritual. But at the base this morning, one thing that we need to take and learn is we need a firm foundation. We need a solid, firm foundation. And the way that we're going to achieve this foundation, the way that we're going to be able to stand when the storms come, the way that we're going to be able to live as a follower of Jesus is to hear the words of Christ and obey them. So my question to us all this morning is, how do we do it? Because I want to read the very last verse in chapter 5. If you want to turn to it, we're going to put it on the screen. It's chapter 5, verse 48, and it says this. And here Jesus, did you notice he started his message and he just kept adding stuff to it? Making me feel like I'm just, you know, there's no way I can do it. Oh, Lord. Now I can't do that. There's no way. And then, to top it all off, in verse 48, he says, be what? Perfect. As your heavenly Father is perfect. So if you felt like you had been abiding by everything until this point, then, you know, there you go. We're all in the boat together. And so how can we, as people, how can we, as followers of Jesus who love him, how can we live this life? And the simple way that I can lay this out to you this morning is we have to have a real relationship. A living relationship, heart relationship with Jesus. Now, as Pastor talked about last week, does that mean we're going to do everything right? No, because we're not perfect. And we're not going to reach perfection until we're with him. But when a follower of Jesus does something crazy, they stand right back up and they repent and they keep walking the path that they know they're supposed to be on. So this morning, Jesus didn't preach this to give us a reason to feel to say, you know, I can't attain that. Forget that stuff, you know. I'm not as good as the Pharisee, and they're not even going to the kingdom of heaven. Look how nice they look. They're at church super early, right? They live there, right? But the way that we can experience heaven is through that relationship, through Jesus Christ and loving Him. And every day waking up, asking Him, Jesus, lead me today. Help me be a light. Stepping back, help me be happy because I know You're at work in everything in me. Help me today to function as salt and light in this world because people need You, Jesus. And I know I had a bad night last night and I'm not very happy today. But guess what? I'm going to run into people today who need You. And the only way that they're going to find You is being in contact with people who know You. So help me be that witness. Help me be that light. And then if you're like me, you got to pray many times. You may have to pray every few minutes. Jesus, help me to love those who don't like me. Help me to be You to the people around me. Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, God, we love You. And Lord, so many times we feel like in ourselves, we have to live up to some certain standard just to be accepted by You. And God, that's not the gospel. But Jesus, help us to know, Lord, that we need to be in a living heart relationship with You. To where we speak to You and we hear You speak to us. Lord, we read Your word. You came to make a way. Let's all pray this.